well, let's turn tonight to Romans and chapter 5, and we're going to look at the first five verses tonight of chapter 5 of Romans. Now, 5 is the number for grace, and that's a great number to have for this chapter, chapter 5, and the first five verses, grace, grace. And that's a neat thing because it's all about the grace of God. Now, we have been learning through the first four chapters of Romans that everyone are sinners and God has saved us by His grace through faith, through a simple faith in Jesus Christ. That's how we're saved. The scripture says in Ephesians 2, it says that we are saved by grace through faith, and that's not even of ourselves. It's a gift of God, and it's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not about what we do for God. It's what God has done for us. And that's hard sometimes for us to accept, but it's so important that we do accept that, because that is where the peace to survive through this life comes from, is understanding that when Jesus said it was finished on the cross, He wasn't kidding. It was really finished, that work that needed to be done to save me. And so this is what we're going to see in the first five verses of chapter 5 in such a deep, powerful way, and hopefully in new ways for you tonight. It certainly was for me again, a new and living way that when I was studying for this week. And I hope that that can break through and touch you as it touched me. Now it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is how we have peace with God, is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we are justified, never sinned. How? By faith, not by works. This is very important to remember. Now, I'd like to take in just a little review, just for a few minutes, back to chapter 4, starting at verse 2, about this subject, so that we can see again what we've learned already to build upon it. So it says in verse 2 of chapter 4 of Romans, for if Abraham were justified by works, he has whereof to glory, but not before God. Nobody can glory before God. Nobody's as perfect as God. Nobody ever will be as perfect as God. That's a goal we can't reach without the grace of God through Christ. Now it says, for what says the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was put to his account for righteousness. That God said, Abraham, you're righteous because you believed me. So it's this faith that brought the righteousness, not the works, the faith. Now to him that works is the reward not reckoned of grace. It doesn't have anything to do with grace if you can earn your way to heaven. But of debt, God owes you because you kept his law, he owes you. But that can't be done because no man ever keeps the law of God completely. We all need Jesus. But to him that works not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Oh, the Lord looks for that poor, unfortunate soul that's just broken before him and saying, oh, Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said about that type of man, this man went down to his house justified. Justified, yeah. The one that's beating his breast and saying, be merciful to me, a sinner. And so that is where it's at. His faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputes righteousness, or actually puts righteousness to his account, without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute or put to his account sin, but rather righteousness because of faith in Christ. So, with that foundation, then we read chapter 5, verse 1 again. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Hallelujah. God is not my enemy because of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. But as I trust Him, then He actually makes peace with me. I remember there was a guy dying in our church of cancer, and he was only 30 years old. It was heartbreaking. He's just 30 years old. He had children and a beautiful wife, and I went over to his house to see him. He was in his lounge chair, and he had this peace and this glow upon his face, just this satisfied look. And he says, "Mark, I went out to the desert, and I walked around in the desert, and I made my peace with God." And that's exactly what he did. He made his peace with God through just believing in Him, looking to Him in this time of great need. And he did go home to be with the Lord. And he left his wife and his children, and they were very sad, of course, and that's a hard thing to happen to a young family. But that was a true repentance and a true godliness that we saw in that dear man, and his wife saw it, his kids saw it. He had made his peace with God. Being justified by faith, we have made peace with God. There's no division between me and the Lord ever again, because I've entered in to His presence through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Now, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about this, because sometimes my works are good and sometimes I blow it and my works are bad. And what we need to know is having peace with God is not based on our works. It's based on our faith. That's why we had that little introduction there. It's based on my faith in Christ. So when my works, I've made some mistakes and things, I don't have to lose the fact that Jesus Christ died for me, and He can forgive me immediately, and He wants to forgive me immediately, because my peace is dependent upon His work, not mine. And if I can get to this place in my life, then I have a consistent experience with the Lord. Otherwise, my experience is like this. Get really down, really up, really down. Because it's based on something that is not stable. It's based on my performance instead of on His performance. As I'm looking to Him and trusting Him, the peace is there because I'm justified by faith and having peace with God. God is there. Now, my belief does not change. It doesn't change. I believe that Jesus Christ died for me on the cross. He rose from the dead, and He's coming again to get me. That is stable. My emotional situation, my things that I've done and mistakes I've made, it's not stable. But He's stable. And I want to go to something stable. I want to go and look at Him. My belief does not change. Therefore, I always have peace with God. And I know that deep in my heart. It's because of what He did. And so this is a great place to be. And you know, it's my goal. And I hope it's yours too. And you know, as we grow in the Lord, I think we get closer and closer to reaching that goal. You know, I always think of my pastor, Pastor Chuck. Man, that guy had extraordinary peace. His wife even got mad at him sometimes. Says, "Nothing bothers Chuck." Chuck has broad shoulders. Well, actually, it wasn't so much the broad shoulders as it was the Lord Jesus Christ. He just was trusting the Lord in all things. And what a blessing. So this helps us to understand a couple of really famous scriptures in the Bible. And I want to turn to you with those, because you might have these underlined in your Bible even, but it's so good to see one scripture backing up and undergirding another scripture, especially familiar scriptures. This idea, being justified by faith, we have peace like a river with God. And so let's take a look at these verses. Let's go to Matthew 11:28. Now Matthew is the first gospel, and chapter 11 and verse 28. Matthew 11:28. Jesus says this, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Oh, doesn't that sound good? You know, whenever I read a verse like this, "I will give you rest." And as I say rest, I can picture a hammock on a nice sunny day with a little breeze and a glass of iced tea, a pool there in front of me, and just real rest. And of course that in itself isn't real rest. You got to have the touch from Jesus to get the real rest, right? But I will give you rest. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek," or humble of heart, "and lowly," or gentle in heart, "and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Doesn't that just minister peace to you? To just read that, to hear that? And the thing is we want to argue with that right away. I mean, in the flesh. But these are the words of Jesus Christ. They're in the red. I mean, it's in red. That's what Jesus said. So these words are right. You mean if I just come, Lord, to you, and I begin to learn of you, and I begin to take your yoke upon me, what a yoke is a burden that the oxen used to carry. You know, they used to have the yoke upon them and they plowed the fields. But even your work that God gives you to do, there's rest in it. There's joy in it. Because you're doing it for Him and in Him. Now, if you make up the work on your own and call it the Lord's work, it can be a real burden. But His yoke that He will give you to do and have your life be about is easy. And His burden is light. And as I'm truly walking close to Him, this is true. And there's peace, because peace has been made with God. And that is the biggest thing we need, to have peace with the Lord. And that's done through faith, through coming to Him. Say, "Now, Lord, just help me in this situation. Make this yoke easy and this burden light." Man, my grandmother could do that. You can probably think of some lives in your life that could do that. My grandmother, I mean, we could be going through all kinds of things, but she's just got this big smile. "Oh, well, they're young. They'll get through it." You know, she was such an example to me. She would throw her head back and laugh. That's because she had the power of the Lord and the blessing of the Lord. I just saw another example of that today on the internet. I don't know how many of you saw the news about the girl that had her arm bit off by a shark in the Bahamas. They were in the Caribbean Sea, and she and her boyfriend were snorkeling. Well, no, her husband. They were married. Husband, wife, snorkel team out there. And they're very young and strong. And she was a very pretty girl. And he said, "You know, I'm not feeling too good. I'm going to go back to the boat." And she just wanted to snorkel a little longer. And she just felt like something bumped against her arm. But she looked up and she's face to face with this shark and was looking him straight in the eye. And the shark had her arm in his mouth. And she just, you know, pure fright. She says she was immediately surrounded by fright. And she's actually being interviewed by a newscaster from CBN, which is a Christian station. So they let her say the whole testimony and didn't take out the Lord. Hallelujah. And she said, all of a sudden, she just felt the power of the Lord come upon her. And she just snatched away her arm, and he took off right to here. The shark bit her hand off, and she just was immediately surrounded by blood in the water. But she somehow said, received this supernatural peace. Man, just the time you need him, he's always there. And just gave her this tremendous peace. And she just started swimming with her arm up out of the water to keep from, you know, bleeding to death. And just began swimming towards the boat. And then she yelled out, and her husband turned around and saw her and came swimming for her and then helped her into the boat. But as she was sitting there, they're filming her, and she's giving her testimony after she was, you know, wrapped up and everything. And she just was saying, the Lord Jesus Christ came upon my soul, and I received supernatural strength, and I received supernatural peace. And I can't believe I'm sitting here, but I am just here to testify for the Lord Jesus Christ. And she was just going on, and I'm going, man, Lord, you can do some mighty stuff. And that just happened this morning. I mean, you can see it, probably see it, still see it on the internet when you get home. Just look up shark attack. And you can get her full testimony. Oh, it's just awesome how the Lord can just make a heavy burden light just by his anointing, his beauty, his wonderful peace. We have peace with God through faith in Jesus Christ. So now I'd like to turn to another scripture on this. Let's go to John chapter 14 and verse 27. Now Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is the fourth gospel, and we go to John 14, 27. Jesus says this, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now that part of the verse kind of tells us that we can let our heart be troubled, and we can let it be afraid. We can do that. If we choose, we can live in fear. But God has not given us the spirit of fear. And this dear girl that was giving her testimony on the internet, she quoted this verse. God hasn't given us the spirit of fear. When she felt that fear striking her, looking the gray eyes of the shark in the eyes, she remembered quoting that verse. Just, God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power. And she received the supernatural power of God and love and a sound mind to calm her mind down. She was calm through the whole thing. And she found herself telling the people what to do when they got her on the boat. Just tie up the arm. I'm just going to put it in the air and choke off the blood from leaving. I mean, she was just unbelievably touched by God. We can let our heart be troubled. Yes, we can do that. And we can let it be afraid. Some people like to be afraid to get attention or whatever. But you know, we can actually get away from the fear. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it happen. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust Jesus right now, my Lord Jesus Christ. And don't be ashamed of his name. Just say his name. I'm going to trust Jesus right now. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You see, because peace is a gift, and it comes back to that idea that we've established already in the introduction. It's not a work. You cannot work up peace. You can't crank it up. It's a gift from God. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Now look how many times the Lord mentions the word give in that verse. Number one is, I leave it with you. I'm going away. You won't be able to see me, but I'm leaving you something. And what I'm leaving with you is peace. And I give it to you in the next line. And then it says, not as the world gives, give I unto you. And so three times, just in that short clause, in that one verse, he says, I am giving you peace. It's a gift. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. I've been good, so give me your peace. No, I'm just leaving it with you. It's yours for the taking, yours for the asking. It's yours. And as I live like that and with that idea, you see, I'm going to be so helped in the times when I just want to freak out. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Oh, the girl at the end of her testimony, well, you have to watch it on TV, but it's CNN. It's not CNN. It's CBN, Christian Broadcasting Company, is where this video is. Anyway, she said, what's an arm? She went, what's an arm? I'm alive, and I'm here with my husband, and we're going to live on. And my kids are here. And she just began to look at what she has, and how blessed. It was just amazing. Now, I'm sure, you know, she'll probably go through some low times, because that happens to us human beings. But the truth of it was right there on that testimony time, that Jesus saved her life. And usually when the blood starts like that, there's other sharks. And usually, this is a tiger shark, those things travel together. And she would have just been eaten by these tiger sharks. Oh yeah. But somehow God blew them away when she called upon his name. Jesus. Oh Jesus. And was able to leave the cloud of blood and start swimming towards the boat. It's just a miracle. And it's just the Lord. And so Jesus leaves his peace. He gives his peace. He gives his peace three times. And so there it is. So we are justified by faith. And we have the peace. Peace with God. And what a gift that is. Okay, well, let's go on back now. There's a couple of more things on this subject in Romans here. So Romans chapter 4. Chapter 5, sorry, and verse 2. It says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. Yes, it is. We just believe the Lord, and we enter into his grace, which is God's riches at Christ's expense. Jesus died, suffered for me, and therefore I can enter into that grace by faith. Wherein we stand. That's the only way we'll ever stand through a day. The scripture says about the enemies, the principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness, that as they attack us in any given day, we want to be able at the end of the day to be standing. And if we put on the whole armor of God, we will stand. Stand therefore, having your on the breastplate of righteousness, and taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, above all the shield of faith, which is able to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. And as we do those things and will be able to stand in that grace through the faith, the shield of faith, stand in that grace at the end of the day and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And so the hope comes upon us. Now, this thing about hope is such a tremendous thing that God wants to bring us into a place of great hope. And hope is just that, you know, non-tangible thing that just causes you to go on. You're just going to hope to the end for the glory of God. God's going to get the glory in this thing, and I'm just hoping that. And that hope is by through faith into that grace and standing there and rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God. And this is the most tremendous thing. Now, as we are looking then at verse 3, let's go to verse 3. It says, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience." Now, we're going to get on a path right now that leads to having more love in your life. More love for God, more love for your neighbors. And it begins with tribulation. And so this is another reason in the Bible that we can rejoice or glory in the hard things that happen to us, because they put us on a road that leads to more love. And we're going to see this road right here. It's neat. These verses right here are out, actually written at Mount Sac. Mount Sac is up the 57 freeway, and it's where they hold the CIF finals for cross country. And the guys that run cross country are so in shape, and it's a race of endurance. And there's three hills. There's Poop Out Hill, Reservoir Hill, and then there's Switchback Hill. Those three hills are the course for the Mount Sac, which is a junior college up there in the hills, up the 57 freeway, Mount Sac, where all the cross-country finals are held. And so the boys and girls have to run up those three hills. At the end, then, the winner is the winner. And so this verse is actually written up there. I'm so glad to see it in a public place, right in front of that course. It says that the trial or the hard time of it, this will work patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. And so it's talking about perseverance in that run. And the Lord actually compares our life to a race. And we run to win in this race. We don't run to lose. And it's a long distance race. It's perseverance. Just going, you know what? I'm going to make it through this thing with God's help. And, you know, I'm just going to take His yoke upon me, for His yoke is easy and His burden is light. And I'm going to trust Him and smile a lot more, for the joy of the Lord is my strength. He's going to give me more strength and more endurance. But here we see the first thing in this list. I want to talk to you about it. It says that we then joy in the tribulations in the course of Mount Sac and all those hills, knowing that tribulation works patience. Patience must be worked in your life and in my life. And if you're praying for patience, you'll probably get some trials, because tribulation or trials work patience. That's what works patience. Now, I'd like to show you that in a bigger way in James chapter 1 and verses 2 through 4. So let's go to the book of James. Chapter 1 and verse 2. James. Now James is towards the back of the Bible. Actually just before Hebrews. Sorry, right after Hebrews. Where's James? Yeah, right after Hebrews. James chapter 1 and verses 2 through 4. It says, my brethren, count it all joy. Count it all joy when you fall into various temptations or trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. And then the exhortation is given. Let patience have her perfect work, that you might be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Or entire and complete is another translation, to be complete in your faith, wanting nothing. Now the wanting nothing part goes along with, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want for any good thing. I'm just content, like a weaned child, it says in Psalm 131. I'm like a weaned child, just waiting on the Lord. And so count it joy when you fall into various temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith is working that patience. And when patience in your life has had its perfect work, you are actually moving up to a place of maturity in the Lord, that you might be perfect or complete and entire, wanting nothing. That is just totally satisfied with what God has for your life. And that is a very precious place to be. And so the Lord wants to cause us to grow in patience. And that's the beginning of the road to more love. But count it all joy when you fall into those various temptations. Know that God's allowed this. It's a time of testing. The first time God made this verse really real to me, I hope this doesn't offend you, I was still in my 20s and I had a lot of hormones popping out. And I had the 4 boys. All my boys were born by age 25 for me. And I took them to the circus. And we went to the circus and I'm having a good time with my sons. And there were girls at the circus that had hardly anything on. You know, it was kind of like a burlesque show at the circus. And I said, God, why did you do this to me? Why did you cause these girls with hardly anything on to be here at the circus of all places? I'm bringing my boys here to see the elephants. And there's these pretty girls and I'm tempted and I'm feeling weird and have to fight temptation. And he said to me, count it all joy when you fall into various temptations, because this is working patience in your life. Mark, you need to learn how to be patient and to be able to rebuke those bad thoughts that are fighting against you right now about these girls. Enjoy your boys and enjoy the elephants, you know. And God said, I allowed this to happen. For that reason, count it all joy when you fall into various temptations, because we need to let patience have her perfect work, and you will come to a place in your life where it doesn't matter if there's pretty girls there. You're not going to look at them in the wrong way anymore, and you're just going to walk on and go my way and make the right choices, and this is what I'm building in your life. And that was really a revelation for me as God began to build in my life just a satisfaction and a love for my wife and her alone. and to be able to turn away from that kind of thing. And it was really precious and really beautiful that God took time to begin that work in my life. And I'm so thankful to Him for that. So thankful to Him. And so I just wanted to pass that on with you, if that kind of testimony helps you to understand this. But, you know, the Lord, He just wants to make us content with Him and who He's given us to and who He's given to us and our lot in life. And to just go with that. Be satisfied with that. You know, there's a scripture that says, as hell is never full, neither are the eyes of man ever satisfied. So you want to draw the line early on that one. Draw the line early. Say, you know what, I'm just going to decide here with the Lord to keep it clean for the rest of my life in Him, by His strength and by His courage and by His powerful name of Jesus. And to learn to be patient. Be patient with Him and with what He's doing with my life. And everything will turn out good. And it's a blessed thing. So anyway, that's the road we're all on. We all struggle with the same things. And so there's the road. So let's go back then to Romans and see what the next word is. It says here, but we glory in trials or tribulations, knowing that tribulation or trial works patience, and patience works experience. Now, it's our experiences in the Lord that build us. We can go to this experience and that experience, and because of those two things, a later experience that's even a little tougher, we'll remember those first two experiences. And this builds hope in our hearts. God got me out of that before, and He can do it again, so I have hope. So I begin to be patient, waiting on the Lord, and I begin to then get experience of God's deliverance. And I remember when He delivered me from this and from that. And then having hope, He can deliver me from the next thing. And that's the way it works. Now, this thing called hope is very, very powerful. Very powerful. That you can actually grow in your ability to hope because of the experience. Now let me give you an example of this. It's a negative example, but it really touched my heart. They put a rat, and I feel sorry for the rats because they always use rats to test things. They put a rat in a canister of water that the rat couldn't get out of. That, you know, they try to climb up the side, but they can't. And they're in the water. And the first rat drowned with just in a few minutes. The rat drowned. Then they put another rat in there. And just before he's going to drown, they rescued him. And they began to do this systematically, where they would rescue the rat just before it drowns. And they were able to get a rat to tread water for 36 hours. Because they had hope that just before it died, it would get rescued. And it was kind of a negative thing, and it's hard to think about, but it makes you remember it, because it's so stinking terrible, that they're drowning these rats. But that God, through your experiences, wants to train you how to hope. I think He's preparing us all for the big hope. The big hope is that we're getting out of here. And we're going to heaven. And we're going to live with Him forever under perfectly blue skies. And all the trials and tribulations are over, because that all happens in this life. So he will train us with little hopes and experiences here in life as we're growing in him, coming to maturity, to be perfect and complete, wanting nothing, because you have been trained through patience and experience, one experience after another, into being patient, waiting on the Lord. Do you ever notice how grandmas can be more patient than moms? And moms can be way more patient than kids. Kids have no patience at all. It's just, you know how they are. Anyway, so we're on a road. God's teaching us. And patience works experience, and experience hope. And then in verse 5, the end of the road, praise God, it says, and hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. And so our goal is to be just like God. And what is God? God is love. And that's where he's taking us. And we grow in love because we have grown in patience. And we've learned through experience. And we have hope. Hope in our hearts. And then the love of God springs into my heart, my life. Because I'm patient with him, I learn how to be patient with others. And I see through experience and hope that the love of God is happening in my life. That I'm able to stop and wait. Wait upon the Lord and he shall renew your strength. Wait upon the Lord and he will minister to your heart. These are scriptures. I'd like you to turn to that. It's too important not to see. Let's go to Psalm 27. Psalm 27 on that. Verse 13. Psalm 27, 13 and 14. I had fainted. Oh man, I could say that about a lot of times in my life. I would just faint dead away unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. If we learn how to patiently wait on the Lord and have good courage, he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So a double exhortation there. Wait on the Lord. Again, I say, wait on the Lord. And as we do that, God works in such a powerful way. And with that then, we look then at the love. And hope maketh not ashamed, back at verse 5 of chapter 5, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, and we begin to grow in the love. Now I wanted to, and the last thing I want to do with you tonight, is go back to John 15, the Gospel of John, chapter 15, and talk about love. This is the biggest thing that God wants us to know about. And it is the end of the trail. It's the goal that God sets for us in our experience on the earth. Patience, experience, hope, and then love. And love is the greatest of all. Now abide faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Now Jesus speaks about it right here in John 15, starting at verse 9. He says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. Now, what things is He speaking unto us? That the Father has loved Him, and we're to abide in His love. Those are the things He's talking to us about. He's talking about love. And He says, these things, verse 11, have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Wow. All of us love joy. We love to feel the joy in the Spirit of God. We want to be joyful believers. My wife's Bible study is called Joyful Life. Joy. Well, how does our joy become full? You know, you got this much joy or this much joy. You want to fill up. You want to go to the gas station and say, fill me up with joy. Yeah. So these things that He spoke to us about love, remaining in His love. Yeah. Abiding in His love. I've spoken to you about this so that you can be filled up with joy. My joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. And then He says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And so God demonstrated His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And there is no greater love than Jesus, who laid down His life for His friends. And that's us. We're His friends. He laid down His life for us. Now, it is interesting. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. God gave His Son to the cross so that we can believe on Him and His sacrifice for us and live forever. Now that's John 3:16. But 1 John 3:16 says this, hereby we perceive the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. Greater love has no man than he laid down his life for his friends. So every time you make a sacrifice for somebody else, you are laying down your life for your friend. And that is the greatest thing you can do. Greater love has no man than he laid down his life for his friend. And as we learn how to do that, and do that, then your joy gets filled up. Oh yeah, to the top and overflowing sometimes. You're so blessed that you were able to see somebody else blessed because of what you did that was sacrificial in your life towards that person. That's God's plan. That's the way He thinks. And the way we grow there is through patience, experience, hope of the life that He has for us in heaven. And then the love is spread abroad in our hearts, and we begin to find out what really matters. It's more blessed to give than to receive. You know, let me just put this in a whole life, looking at a whole life story. You get married and you have kids, and the kids can be a real pain sometimes. I mean, just a pain. And they always want to go to the park or Disneyland or Knott's Berry Farm, and they're just bugging you to death. And you can live a very selfish life of getting the controller and watching TV until your eyeballs fall out. Or you can start drinking to just kind of get away from it all. Walk out and go to the bar with the guys because you let the little woman take care of the kids and you'll see them when they're 20. You know, selfish living. Or you can die. Yeah. Lay down your life and begin to take those kids to the park and to begin to play with them. And when you paint the garage, you let them help. And then you start to live. That's when you start to live. Or if you notice the lady next door has trouble taking her trash cans out, and you just go over there and do it for her. And you watch out for her each week. That's when you start to live. Oh yeah. Or when you start thinking about the homeless, like some of our brothers here in the church, and begin to do something for them. And that's when you start to live. And we find that out. And we're patient with other people. They get in your face and they start yelling at you, and you just stand and look and listen and start praying, Lord, what's the matter with this person really? How can I minister to them? That's when you start to live. Yeah, it's so true. Death in us, life in them. Death in us, life in them. And if you lay down your life for the kingdom, you'll find your life. You'll find it. Because that's where it is. And it all begins with patience. Being patient with other people. Do you ever run into patient people that are working in the medical industry or one of the places where you shop for things? And they're just so patient with you, and they listen to your questions, and they want to know what you're going to do, and they take care of you. Doesn't that just feel so good when someone takes care of you like that? And it makes you want to do it for somebody else. And that's all a design of God. Patience, experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, and people learn how to live, and they are so blessed with other people that live that way towards them. And this is how the gospel is passed on, through actions. 77% of our communication is nonverbal. I'll say that again, I learned that in college. 77% of our communication is non-verbal. So I can say Jesus loves you and then treat somebody like a dog, and that's not going to do any good. But I can say Jesus loves you and here's a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. That's going to do much better, because love is a high performance thing, and it is dying to self. And the flesh does not want to die to self. The flesh just wants to serve me, serve me. Everybody in the world's going, me, 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 me. And Jesus came into the world and went, you, 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 you. I'm going to die for you. I'm going to die for you. And he calls us to die for one another and be a blessing to one another. Amen. Such good things in the Bible. Let's pray. So, Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for your instructions. And, Lord God, we're so thankful to you, Lord, that our peace does not depend on us, but you have paid for our peace. And you simply leave it with us and give it to us. And, Lord, we thank you for your instruction through trials and tribulations to give us patience and experience and hope. And, Lord, most of all, you make us lovers of you and lovers of one another in your continual work with us, Father. And we're so thankful that you don't give up on us. You're always working for us and with us, Lord. And so we appreciate you tonight, Lord. And thank you for my brothers and sisters that have come to hear your word, Lord. We'd love to read your scriptures and study them and find out what other scriptures say about them. Lord, thank you. And Lord, thank you for blessing this dear girl on CBN. Man, Lord, what you did there is just wonderful. And Lord, thank you, Father, for saving her life. And so, Lord God, we just appreciate you tonight. We pray you continue to guide us and lead us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you would like prayer for anything tonight, the prayer room's always open for you. If you need a Bible, we've got a free Bible for you. Want to get the Word of God in your hands. So may the Lord bless you. May God continue to lead you close to Him. Cause His face to shine upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.